Welcome back to the program, top of this hour. Dana Loesch here with you. You can listen coast to coast. We're also on channel 347 DirecTV, chats at Rumble. We're on X, all those good places. So I was shocked, sort of. I saw, this is from Canada. I don't know if you saw this. This is what they kicked out last night. And I tweeted about it, for those of you who follow me on X. It was pretty wild. The Canadian government is essentially going to turn itself into an arms dealer by confiscating guns from Canadians and then sending them to Ukraine. At least that's what their public safety minister has announced. Dominic LeBlanc, audio soundbite 19. Listen to this.
Today, the government is adding a further 324 unique makes and models of assault-style firearms to the list of prohibited firearms in Canada. This prohibition takes effect immediately. This means these firearms can no longer be legally used, sold, or imported in Canada, and can only be transferred or transported under extremely limited circumstances. As part of that process, the government of Canada has committed to the Ukrainian government to identify whether some of these guns could be donated to support the fight for democracy in Ukraine.
Oh, because that's what we think it is. Really? Okay. Wow. 324 different firearms, an immediate ban. And by the way, that guy looked like he was wearing rouge on his cheeks. Tell me that I'm not the only person that saw that, right? That thought it as well. So they're banning all different types of firearms, and they want to 324, and they want to donate them to Ukraine. They said they're working with the government to see how they can donate the guns. What in the world? The restrictions, they said, are going to be implemented immediately. This means these firearms can no longer be used. And this was after they banned 1,500 makes and models of firearms. Now that number's grown to 2,000. The first ban was in May of 2020. And they said this guy, this fruitcake, says firearms designed for the battlefield plainly do not belong in our communities. I don't know. Are they sending Canadians out to war with semi-auto?
I hope not.
This is the same stupid argument that we keep having over and over again. People who have no idea about firearms, they have no idea about what the military uses. They have no idea about any of these things, but they are taking it upon themselves to determine your rights based on their ignorance. That's a crime. It should be. And the... I mean, that's what they're calling for. They're demanding this. This is what they're. I mean, it's pretty. It's in Canada, but I love the idea that first they called it a buyback, and then now some of them are just outright saying confiscation. But they're turning themselves into arms dealers with this. I mean, that's. I mean, I know it's Canada. They've really gotten super far left, have they not?
Oh yeah.
Super far left. So they're. They're in Montreal, by the way, they are demanding a total ban on all semi-automatic rifles roll out a buyback. And so now they have this full-on ban. Thousands of models. Apparently they're like a couple that are allowed and that's it. And those will be banned. That's just a matter of time before the ones that are not banned already are banned. And if you have a banned model in Canada, you can't do anything with it, not even sell it to the government because they haven't rolled out their buyback system yet. Because they want a total ban before they do the buyback. That's at least officials in Montreal and elsewhere in Canada. They said that they want a complete list and they need to have everything banned before they move forward with any kind of buyback, which it's already a nightmare. It's already a mess. I don't know where are you getting the money to do any kind of buyback in the first place? Toronto, I wanted to pull this piece up. There's a piece I was reading, my friend Tom Knighton covered how the anti-gun efforts, particularly in Toronto, have backfired. Because Justin Trudeau had been bragging about his success with gun control, etc., and Toronto law enforcement are scratching their heads saying, what? They said that they banned handguns. They froze. They had a federal handgun freeze to address the influx of black market firearms, and officers are dealing with gang violence. Toronto's a mess. Vancouver's a mess because of it. They have tons of gang violence in British Columbia. Trudeau only looks at the firearms. He doesn't do anything about the actual gangs. So you're not really solving the problem, are you? You're just making it harder for the innocent. The idea that you're going to make laws based on criminal behavior and not based on lawful behavior is insane. You're punishing the law-abiding for what criminals are doing. That's unfair. Why should your rights be forfeit because someone chooses to engage in criminality? That's like saying we're going to ban all cars because people are engaging, engaging in criminality with their vehicles. It's a stupid logic. But this is wild. So when we talk about, let's make Canada, let's just go ahead and annex them. I don't want to, because people voted for this. Their lawmakers all want this. I don't want these people. I don't want to have a bunch of gun control people and make them part of my country. Hell no. Their gun control is not working in Canada at all either, by the way. And not just in Toronto or Vancouver. I mean, really anywhere in Canada where it's been implemented. It's just been a mess. For instance, this story is CBC. They said, they keep saying gun violence is on the rise, but when you read the article, it's not gun violence, which is a stupid phrase. It's increased gang activity. But they don't want to say that it's increased gang activity. They want to scare you and use those people, use criminals as a way to bully people into giving up their rights. It's a record-breaking gang violence in Toronto. I mean, gangs and drugs galore. And guess what? When you have a gang problem, Kane, what do gangs like to use in commission of felonious activity?
Weapons and guns.
That's right, weapons and guns. Because, you know, drug dealers and gangbangers don't just say please and thank you, right? They don't just use please and thank you unless that's what they named their black market acquired weapons, you know. This is please, this one thank you, please and thank you. So, man, Canada's got it rough. They got it rough. And now it looks like they're going to go after absolutely everything. It is wild. We got more on this. We also have the Daniel Penny trial. The jury's deadlocked in the verdict. They told the judge they were unable to come to a decision on the charge of manslaughter, and they were waiting for instructions from the judge. The verdict, that what they were being asked to determine, first count, second degree manslaughter, before potentially moving on to the second count, which was criminally negligent homicide. So second degree manslaughter, meaning he had him in a chokehold, wasn't aware, and just didn't know that he would kill him. And then the second one was that he knew, and he was doing it anyway, not able to recognize, you know, the graveness of the situation. But I think both of these are predicated upon Jordan Neely being dead by the time that Daniel Penny let him go, and he wasn't. How are you asking Daniel Penny to be convicted on a manslaughter charge when Jordan Neely was still alive after? How are you trying to convict Daniel Penny on a manslaughter charge when Jordan Neely was on so much drugs? Who knows if he would have been alive later in the day? Man's OD'd I don't know how many times. He was in and out of the hospital because the drug use complicated his health I don't know how many times. He was violent. Who's to say that? That's just asinine. And to go after somebody like Daniel Penny, what they're asking the jury to determine is whether or not anyone has the right to live their lives unassaulted, unmolested, unattacked, unthreatened. That's what they're asking. Because apparently there is a protected class in the United States that if you check so many boxes, you can do whatever you want to people. I mean, clearly, he had a warrant out for his arrest because he bashed some lady in the face. He broke an elderly woman's nose, tried to kill another woman by throwing her on the train tracks. Of course, don't forget he was on video trying to take a seven-year-old. Yeah, precious little Jordan Neely. So dangerous that even Reddit, full of conservatives and far-left liberals, all came together in one thread and were like, everybody be aware of this platform. There's a very dangerous guy here. It's a thread that's still up on Reddit. Tons of comments. Even before this happened, there were tons of comments on it. This guy's dangerous. Be careful. All these people were sharing their experiences of how he threatened them and all this stuff. It was only a matter of time. And as Eric Adams had said, you know, New York didn't do what New York should have done. People pay taxes. They pay taxes with the expectation, actually, it's stolen from them. No one actually expects anything from the government. The government, by way of forcibly taking your money under penalty of threat, has culpable deniability and not being able to follow through with the forced investment of your tax dollars. So in New York, these people paid their tax money for what? The promise of police protection? The promise that violent criminals are going to be thrown in jail? The promise that the streets are going to be safer? The promise that they'll be able to ride the subway unmolested, unassaulted? Because New York failed. And not just in this case. There was another case where a guy was murdered by another Jordan Neely-like character on a subway platform. That was, what, months before Jordan Neely. New York failed taxpayers in this situation. They're not allowed to defend themselves. Hell no. Heaven forbid you have a weapon. And now you don't even have to have a weapon. Everyone's like, Jordan Neely was unarmed. So was Daniel Penny. He was also unarmed. And guess who else was unarmed? The woman with the baby that Jordan Neely threatened. Guess who else was unarmed? The elderly woman who was threatened. Prosecutors are saying, well, no one was threatened specifically. I think that when you get in the face of a mother that's trying to shield her baby with her stroller and you're screaming, I'm going to kill you, I will kill you all, that sounds like a pretty damn specific threat. You tell me if you think it's a specific threat if a known violent offender is screaming in your baby's face that they're going to murder her. Oh, they didn't say her name. Jordan Neely didn't like ask to see her Costco card and then read her name aloud to the subway platform. You morons. Always an excuse for the violent. I feel like this state hates innocent people. This is New York hates innocent people. I don't go to New York for nothing anymore. I used to have to go all the time for work and I still don't go back. I don't like to go to New York for nothing. My gosh, what happens if someone would try to attack me or for me and would try to attack and I would defend myself? Hell, I might be thrown into jail too. They're throwing everybody in jail in New York. You don't even have to be guilty of an offense as you saw with Trump. They'll just make it up. Like with Alvin Bragg. Which brings me back to my point. Stop supporting damn Republicans that are against the due process and the offenses against which I'm talking about right here. Stop supporting lawmakers that don't honor due process, regardless if they got an R after their name. We got more on the way. Our partners over at Preborn, great organization that's out there saving lives right and left, and they're meeting with mothers and they're helping them as these mothers are facing an unexpected pregnancy, or unplanned pregnancy, I should say. And a lot of people are searching for hope, and a lot of people feel like a lot of women, they think that that's their last resort, and it's not. And that's what Preborn Ministry steps in to help with. They meet these women, they introduce them to their babies. Ultrasounds, they listen to the heartbeat. When that happens, studies shown that a child's chance of surviving doubles at that point. But that's not all. They partner with these women up until the toddler years, making sure that these families get the best start. And that just goes so much, that's exactly what is needed. They steward these women, they help this new life, and they're able to do it because of your generous donations. Save a life this Christmas. It starts at just $28. I mean, by donating that amount, you can help support women and babies in need and provide vital care and resources. You can make even a larger life-changing donation, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. You can use that to save countless babies. Maximize your year-end tax deduction. It's doubled with a special matching grant as well. So your gift will have double the impact. Any donation matters. So if you want to know how to donate, it's simple and easy. You just dial pound, or for millennials, hashtag #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also visit preborn.com/Dana to donate online. Every contribution counts. #250, say the keyword baby, preborn.com/Dana.
Skyrocketing energy prices have caused people to do what? 34% of people have cut back or skipped spending on necessary expenses to pay their electric bill. This government involvement and increased regulation continues to drive their prices even higher. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The Michigan AG urges residents to play music outside to combat Christmas porch pirates after one person in the country illegally was arrested for stealing iPhone packages in one neighborhood. So the Michigan AG, they're saying, just play, just try to dissuade them with Christmas lights and holiday music. So you're going to put them in a more festive mood to steal. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from you. That's so goofy. Why? Stop, people. Stop, stop. Also, let's see. A Canadian man jumped on a polar bear to defend his wife from being attacked. Brave man. They were in the far north. He leapt on the bear to protect his wife from being mauled. He suffered serious injuries but is going to recover. The couple left their house to find their dogs when a bear in the driveway of their home lunged at her. They live north of Ontario, far, far north. She slipped to the ground. The husband leapt on the animal to prevent it from attacking. It attacked him. He's got serious but non-life-threatening injuries to his arms and legs. A neighbor arrived with the gun, shot the bear several times, and it succumbed to its injuries. It retreated into the woods. They're patrolling the area to make sure that there were no bears in the air. They said that when an attack occurs, it's because the bear's often hungry, young, and unwell. Or you're a snack and it's a bear. You know, there's just that, right? I mean, the hungry part, that's kind of what it is, you know. Let's see here. Men are more likely to have financial secrets than women, says a study. I think I believe that. I think maybe. I don't know what kind of financial secrets, but they said this survey only looked at 220 Americans, and they said that 77% of men have more financial secrets than compared to women, whatever that means. Stick with us. We got a lot more next with the latest with the penny case, cabinet picks, etc. Black Rifle Coffee. It's good coffee. Black Rifle Coffee is a really good coffee. They got a freedom roast. If our founders reanimated and kicked out of their graves and wanted a cup of brew, which you know they probably wouldn't, they'd want a beer. But if they wanted a cup of brew, they'd pick the freedom roast. It's the beans are talon roasted by eagles up on a mountain somewhere in Utah. It's a true story. Wink. It's a true story. They get the best beans from all over the world. They bring them. They roast them. 5 days a week at their facilities in Tennessee and Utah. Veteran-owned, veteran-operated. They all hire active duty and retired. And it's just great coffee, and it's affordable. Everybody else's coffee, I don't know. I like Black Rifle's coffee because you get the flavor of the bean, but you also get the hint, like, for instance, the Freedom Roast, a little cinnamon, a little buttery finish, milk chocolate. You got some vanilla in there, and it's a tribute to liberty and those who fought for our nation. And when you subscribe to that Black Rifle Coffee Club, you never have to go out of your house in the morning looking like a mess because you forgot that you didn't have coffee the night before, right? You always have coffee. It's automated shipping. It shows up on your door. The frequency and the roast are up to you. And if you are set on coffee, they all have all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is great Christmas gifts. They've got apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, so much, everything that you need for the perfect brew. So the Freedom Roast from Black Rifle Coffee. Get your freedom on. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Taste other top shelf roasts like Black, Just Black, Silence, or Smooth. Whatever you decide, though, 20% off with code Dana. So that's BlackRifleCoffee.com. Code Dana gets you 20% off. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. I'm in the snow. We're in our, because we've got our, you know, our awesome studio. So we've got our LED wall. And what is it? Like, I feel like, where would this be? Somewhere in like the Nordic region?
Yeah, the North Pole.
Yeah, we're at like the North Pole, basically. And we got a nice tree, got a bunch of pine cone stuff that we put up here. So look, we're all festive and stuff. And that nice, we're all festive. See, look. Oh, man, and he's got my, oh, look at that. Real nice one, real nice shot there. All right, so welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. And bottom of this first hour. So, where are we going to go? Because there's a lot. And a lot of it's like housekeeping kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like a lot of it's like, you know, is where we got the cabinets. I want to get into the drone stuff. I also feel like it might be related to the alien stuff, maybe. I've got conspiracy theories. But I wanted to touch on real quick with this United CEO murder. They're already, and I told you yesterday, they're already using this as a way to push ghost gun bans, right? And 3D printing bans and all this stuff. So you have this guy, he's on talking about this, it's pushing this on cable news, CEO murder case, audio soundbite 4. Already, now they're still pushing it.
This is very real for you and me and everybody else who does anything. This person worked alone. I sincerely believe he very likely worked alone.
Sure.
And any crazy person who views somebody as the genesis of all their problems can go out and do this. And that's what happens when you have a country that worships violence and a country where you don't regulate guns.
Right, exactly.
Because if you couldn't get access to guns, this probably doesn't happen.
Well, I'm, and this is the same.
This is one of the stupidest. First off, who is this guy? Nobody knows who this chonk is. Nobody knows. Does anybody care? No, nobody cares. Just using him as an illustration. This is stupid because first off, you don't, it, he was, I think he would have done it regardless. He was, if he was going to do something, he would have either, he would have figured out a way to illegally obtain a firearm at some point. That's kind of the whole point of criminals and what they do. You know what I mean? It's had nothing to do with guns. It has to do with the culture of violence in this country. Stop blaming the damn guns. All you idiots out there who have no idea about it. They don't even know all of the facts in this case, but they're coming out like, well, we're pretty sure it has to do with the guns. It's because of the guns. Couldn't be because of any other issue. See, if you take away the guns, all the murder goes away. Said nobody ever that had more than one brain cell to rub together. All right, I want to move on. We'll come back to this later, but I'm going to get myself all worked up. A couple things still. As we wind towards Christmas. Because next week is our last week, right? Or am I? Next week is our last week. That's right. Okay. This McDonald's, this is such a testament to our culture right now. It's been a big year for McDonald's, right, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
Because you had Trump at McD's.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy's at McD's.
Yeah.
So the McDonald's where police caught the guy who wants to be Joker, apparently. And think about it. It really is playing out like that. They've been flooded with negative Yelp reviews. Is it too early to start drinking, Kane?
No.
Asking for a lot of people out there who just heard this headline. They're wanting to know. The Pennsylvania McDonald's where police arrested the guy who gunned down that Brian Thompson, the CEO. They've been flooded with negative reviews on Yelp since Monday. The Altoona, Pennsylvania location. Not just Yelp, but also Google. Employees are being branded, quote, rats and snitches by morons who are sympathetic. They always try to make it like they did this with the Boston Bombers, right? So they're, yeah, that's what they're doing. And that's something. Isn't it something, Kane?
Yeah. It's something, all right.
They've been review bombing. Employees are referring to the, are being referred to as rats and snitches. In the comments, because somebody turned him in.
A murderer.
Because, see, some murder's okay. I can't even begin with this. What a statement on our society that they're getting flooded with negative reviews because somebody turned this guy in. And then we wonder why we just have such a trash society. And you wonder why stuff like this happens in the first place. I don't know what it is. Like, this guy's not a folk hero. He killed somebody's dad. This is how dumb this is. He killed someone's dad. And if we're just going to assume that it has to do with anger over healthcare, who are the people that made the damn system? Take a bow, Democrats. I mean, hell, they bragged about it for how long after they had Obamacare passed? I will never forget Nancy Pelosi walking towards the congressional building. Walking towards the Capitol from the Hart building, and she had this, she didn't use the underground tunnels, which they normally use. She wanted to walk out in front of all the protesters, and she had a gavel that was the size of like an Acme Wile E. Coyote gavel. You remember that? We all joked about what in the heck? She walked with the damn thing. She was trolling everybody, and they were so proud. They were bragging about this. They got Obamacare passed. All the healthcare stuff is theirs. All of the complaints about the healthcare system are because of Democrat policies. Democrats own it. They fought for it. They got it. Take a bow. That's on y'all. So, I don't know. this whole back and forth with, oh, well, he's a good guy. He's a folk hero because, you know, he's angry over health care. You're angry at you. You're angry at what you created. And I just think that it's being viewed as he murked somebody who might be on the right. And so the left is excited about that. Is that me thinking too much into this, Kane?
No.
Because I feel like that's how they look at it. They look at that guy as like an avatar of the right. Yeah. And so this was a long time coming. That's what it seems like with these people. It's sad. Big year for McDee's, though. You know what we're all going to be into is we're all going to be turned into, we're all going to be chased down by giant murder balls. That's what's going to happen. Giant murder balls are going to chase us all down. China unveiled an all-terrain spherical RoboCop to chase down, bludgeon, and catch criminals using net-launching cannons. Net-launching cannons. This sounds like hysterical.
Bludgeon?
Huh?
It'll bludgeon people?
Yeah, I don't know how. But they listen to this. The bot beast, apparently they say they can not only stop crime, but they can somehow detect it too. I'm not afraid of this. Because you know what can stop this, right? 45, just saying. I'm not afraid of this thing. But they said that they're relatively unbreakable. They call it the cop ball. It's a murder ball. They have net guns, tear gas sprayers, grenades, loudspeakers. You know what I'm looking at? Is I'm looking at a delivery service for free grenades and tear gas and sprayers. That's what I'm looking at. You could catch one of these things and take it apart, couldn't you? I mean, theoretically. And we're talking about China, so I don't have to worry about being nice about it. I don't have to worry about it. It's a giant murder ball. Now, some people thought it was a marketing stunt, but apparently they're really actually trying to implement this thing. They wanted to replace humans in dangerous instances. It weighs 4 tons. Well, it said it can withstand a whopping 4 tons of impact. And it's, oh, it can go a whole 22 miles per hour. Great job, China, with your dumb murder ball. We found a way to do more of the communism with our murder ball. That's what this is. We're going to spread the sickle and hammer with our murder ball. I just want to know, where does it put the grenades in that?
Right.
And does someone, I guess, what if it gets hit with an EMP? I still say it's a thing of, it's a grenade delivery unit. That's what it is. Yep. Gives you some free grenades and stuff. They said the wheels can be locked so it can walk in a traditional way if it has to climb stairs. I mean, it's a giant ball. Roll up them. I don't know. This whole thing, they said it's unstoppable, even in extreme weather. And they have, they've been releasing videos showing it work. I don't know. I still think the robot thing is the creepiest. The one that, the Tesla bot, that's the creepiest. But they've been rolling them out. It's been in it's only in a couple of areas, but they have these giant murder balls out there. The Chinese murder balls. If you saw one of these, well, first off, Kane, say you haven't committed a crime, but still, if you saw one of these like coming at you,
right?
What would your response be?
Get out of the way. Thing looks like it could run over me.
I mean, it only goes 22 miles per hour.
Yeah, but I can only run like maybe 8 or 10.
Yeah, but I feel like this is why everybody needs a scooter or something. Or like the ability to convert your shoes into whatever works with the... What are the things with the stick?
The go-go gadget one?
No, I have one. I have a mini version of one, and I can't think of what the name
Segway?
Of it. Yes, like a Segway. Like your shoes can... I just feel like I could get away from it. I'd climb something, or I'd shoot it. I don't know. I could get away from it.
Yeah, you could definitely shoot
it. And then
it.
I'd take all the... I would literally strip it for parts.
I want to see it in action, actually, doing what it's supposed to do. Like walking with cops down the road, it's not an impressive display of what this thing can do. I want to see it launch one of those. What did they say it had? One of those net things? That
tear gas.
It has the...
I'm looking at the list. It's got tear... It can disperse tear gas, built-in net gun.
Net gun. That's
stun gun.
Imagine
so don't get close
shooting
to
the net gun at somebody and taking down this. I want to see that. That's what I want to see from this Chinese commie ball.
Murder ball.
Murder commie ball.
It's a spherical RoboCop.
Commie murder ball.
That sounds almost like a band name I want. commie murder ball. The robot is called Clone Alpha. It's described as a musculoskeletal android. That's the clone robot that they have, the eerie humanoid bot. This one's just a giant ball of death in a Benny Hill kind of way. It does look like it's like a Benny Hill cop.
Yeah.
I can't make fun of this enough. From China. So immigration, the Netherlands is looking to cap its population. Their hard right government is backing. Their government that wants some responsibility. Shut up, this stuff is so stupid. Hard right, hard left, everything's stupid. The government that wants to have a little bit more sovereignty, they want to stop people from coming in illegally. And they're also saying we need to keep our population under 20 million because we're literally not having to, we're not able to sustain this. But they said that if we keep our population in check, we're going to have a period of austerity for a little bit. Nobody likes that. You talk about austerity, people don't want that. They get very upset. So they're trying to limit intake. And this is all making the EU very angry. Because the EU wants unfettered access. They want to have just a flood of illegal immigrants coming in. France is bracing for chaos because they've been having a series of votes. As you know, conservatives have been really making some gains in French parliament. Of course, not just in France also, but in the EU. Because now there's a lot of murmurs in France. They got to do something about, again, the unfettered, crazy amount of illegal immigration. A lot of it was stemmed by Angela Merkel in Germany. And now a lot of things are changing in Europe. They're changing. They're starting to catch on. Maybe Democrats will too. We have more on the way. We have today in these United States, as we move, our partners over at Preborn. This is an organization that does so much to help women and children. And they've been out there saving lives. Preborn clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion. More than 300,000 babies have been saved, and over 80,000 women have come to Christ. And every day, Preborn Network clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. And they've partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions, providing life-saving ultrasounds. And that's a huge competitor to the abortion industry when a woman can see her baby. And that's a huge thing. A baby's chance at life doubles when the mom sees the ultrasound and hears the heartbeat. And you can be a part of this. You can help because, see, they partner with women beyond ultrasounds. For the next 2 years, they help with maternity, baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and so much more. These are free of charge, up to 2 years of assistance. And mothers who choose life, they get the help. They meet these women where they are, and they help them, and they really serve them. And that's pretty amazing. They're saving lives. And you can help. Gift to $28 sponsors one ultrasound, $140 sponsors five. Any donation helps. When you sponsor monthly, you receive ultrasound pictures of the babies you're saving. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Visit preborn.com/Dana and help save a baby and mother's life. That's preborn.com/Dana.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Now, you know, we know there was a probability it could have been our own government. We know it's not our own government because they would have let us know. It could have been some really glorified hobbyist or hobbyists that were doing something unbelievable. They don't have the technology. But let's pretend that's possible. The third possibility was somebody, an adversarial country, doing this. Know that Iran made a deal with China to purchase drones, motherships, and technology in order to go forward. The sources I have are good. They can't reveal who they are because they are speaking to me in confidentiality. These drones should be shot down, whether it was some crazy hobbyist that we can't imagine or whether it is Iran, and I think it very possibly could be, they should be shot down. We are not getting the full deal. And
so why don't we, if it's true, why don't we just, and if we know where it is, why don't we just park a destroyer right next to it? Right. You know, just put a little destroyer right there and see how long it goes. I don't know what I think of this. This is a congressman who was talking about the Jeff Andrew, who was saying that all the drones that everybody's been seeing in Jersey are actually these drones from this Iranian mothership. And this is part of a deal between Iran and China. They had acquired these like related technology for this like mothership and all these drones and all. They acquired all of this from Iran. So I don't know what, I mean, if this is true, and I watched that live. That was just, what, last hour? Mm-hmm. I watched that live, and what is this? Nobody's ever heard of this. It's the first time a lot of people heard of it. That's kind of wild, right? Yep. Why wouldn't they shoot him down? I'd be blowing everything out of the sky that wasn't cleared from airspace. And if you don't have the means to do it, I got a solution for you. There's a thing. It's three words. It's a solution to this drone issue. You want to know what it's called? If you don't want to park a destroyer next to the Iranian mothership, you want to know what you do?
What?
You get that three-letter solution. Good old boys. Super easy. Because there are some people out there who literally love nothing more than shooting stuff out the sky. And you say, we need some help. You're going to have good old boys and girls all over the country that are, we are here to serve. And they're going to be pulling up with their Benellis and their Mossbergs and all, you know, their KSGs, everything else. They're going to be showing up, their bird guns, and they're going to be popping these things right out the sky. Very simple. Easy to do. I bet they won't even make you pay them to do it. They will probably offer to pay you. Like, is there a tag I got to get for? I mean, they would love nothing more. So I'm just saying, you know, if all else fails, you have the GOB response, the good old boy response. You get some folks out there that love, they'll just like free skeet. They skeet, skeet, skeet. They're going to have a ball, a blast, pun intended. That's the way to do it. But how in the world is that what all this is? I mean, nobody has said anything. It's kind of weird. We've been talking about, oh, there's some drones flying all over New Jersey. I was hoping for aliens, but as always, I'm disappointed. I'm forever disappointed. You know, it's just dumb Iranians. I mean, not that that's like a less of a thing, but I was hoping for some real fireworks with some aliens. But instead, we got these dumb damn Iranians doing this stuff. Really? I mean, it's just like shooting fish in a barrel, if we really wanted to. We got more on the way. Second hour. Stick with us. So, apparently, I'm coming back to the drone story because there's more. I'm fascinated with this. So, apparently, they're saying that there's, I guess it's an airbase of ours. I dropped this in Slack for you guys. The drone invasion, or what they're saying, multiple states, but also apparently over our U.S. base in Germany. The first drone sightings, according to this, because it was over the Picatinny Arsenal, and then also Trump's Bedminster golf course. This is back in November, and then over U.S. military bases in the U.K. last month. A British intel chief has warned that there could be. They thought they could be Russian, and they said that these UAVs, these unmanned aerial vehicles, they were hovering over RAF Lakenheath and Mildenhall and a couple of bases. So they were looking at British bases. And then, of course, over our bases in Germany. That's okay. You see why it's weird. And that one's got one. That's just like one photo. One unaltered photo. So that's how many. I mean, you've got six of them, more than six. Eight in that one. So I don't know. Like, I mean, it's like the military confirmed that they were at Ramstein, the U.S. airbase in Ramstein. This was in just a week ago. And that was according to Air Force Base. They said there's no impact to anything. But they'd already said that they'd seen them over there. So what's up? What gives? I mean, good heavens. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but if it's a military like testing thing, then that's a pretty widespread thing. Maybe there's a reason why they want to be very quiet about it, because I don't know. It's like part of the way that they're trying to freak out the opposition, which would be a good, you know, kind of very Sun Tzu way, make your opposition think that you got a lot more than you have. I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to say. I don't know. Kane, thoughts now that it's over the airbases in Germany?
I've been down so many rabbit holes on this particular subject that Honestly, I don't even know what to think. There's so much void as it relates to answers that people are filling that void with all of their speculation. So now we just have this question of what the hell's going on, and we can't even get that answered.
Yeah, I don't. I think that there's going to be more. I think the more that you lack transparency, the more that the conspiracy theories grow. I mean, if it's going to be this visible to the public, then you need to tell the public something about it, if it's a military thing. So I don't know, just very, very wild. We've got more. We'll come back to that. We've got more on the way, but I've got a number of other things to touch on as well here because we want to get you set up for the weekend. I'm pulling up my, here it is. Got to pull up all my notes on everything. So we talked a little bit earlier how the AG in Jersey is suing Glock to put what he's calling the homemade machine gun industry out of business. This is probably one of the dumbest things I think I've seen in quite some time. Going after manufacturers because criminals choose to use them in a certain way. Now, there's been a lot of like really good victories as it pertains to 2A lately. Although, I mean, there's some stuff in the Fifth Circuit. There's been a couple of other fights, but this, I don't think he's going to be successful in that just simply because it's not a modification that is even promoted, or it's not that's because someone chooses to do something illegal with their legally purchased with a product that's legal to sell and legal to purchase doesn't mean that it's the product's fault. It's like if you, in certain states, you can't tint all your windows, right? It's like if you tint all your windows and you break the law, that's not the auto manufacturer's responsibility. It's the responsibility of the person who can do those modifications on the vehicle. It would be like going after, you know, Ford or Lexus or whatever for somebody tinting their windows when that's not, you know what I mean? So this is stupid. I don't even know how this can be justified to stand in court, but it's really, I think, kind of showcases the absence of education on the issue, particularly when you are an attorney general of a state. So we've seen AGs use their authority, like Andrew Bailey, Eric Schmidt before he became senator, Ken Paxton here, use their influence to do a lot of good. Well, you're also going to probably start seeing a lot of very lefty AGs in blue states do the opposite, use their influence to try to wage war against the incoming administration. So they're gearing up for that. This is just one of the ways where they're trying to flex and see what all they can do. But I cannot see this case going anywhere. I just can't. Speaking of justice or injustice, Biden is being really harshly more criticized for his commutations. More is coming to light. We talked to you about the Chinese pederast that he released in like a prisoner swap that was part of this whole deal, the commutations and everything that he did yesterday. One of the people that he commuted the sentence of is a notorious Kids for Cash judge. He's this like crooked Pennsylvania judge, and he funneled juveniles to detention facilities that were for profit, and he got paid off of that. He got over $2 million in kickbacks for sending these kids to these for-profit detention centers. The Luzerne County judge, Michael Conahan, he's the guy at the center of it. He was among the 1,499 commutations. And I mean, one of the mothers was livid. Sandy Fonzo, her son committed suicide because his detention was extended as part of this operation where this judge was getting kickbacks. And as a result, her son killed himself. He committed suicide. And I can't even imagine. I can't believe that you would pardon a guy like this who would use his authority not only in this expanded scope of big state, but to so callously, soullessly go after disadvantaged or troubled youth as a way to make money off of it if they're in detention for longer and then shipping them off to these for-profit facilities. I mean, That gives credence to the accusations about, you know, the business of incarceration. I got to tell you, it does. It gives a lot of credence to it when you hear stories like this. And remember, who's the party that just commuted the sentence of one of the biggest abusers of it? I mean, this is just, it's crazy that this is what he's doing with his, he just doesn't care. He just doesn't care. And then, of course, there's the preemptive pardons, which he's thinking of handing out, which I think says so much more about the left than it does the right. I get real aggravated because I've had some drive-bys say, you know, it's so nice that you're not talking about the need for these preemptive pardons. I've had some real hateful people in the past few days, like, try to comment on that. Okay, so here's my question to the drive-bys. When did Trump do that his first term? When did he go after people his first term? Like, look at Hillary Clinton. He literally chanted lock her up at every damn event that he did in 2016. Where, and going up to the 2016 election, where did he lock her up? He didn't remember. When they asked him about it, he had said he was just going to leave her alone. And that was it. He just kind of, you know, shrugged it off, and she was never locked up. He doesn't even talk about Hunter anymore. When did he ever go after people? That's what the left does. The left anticipates it because that's literally what they do. They weaponize agencies and go after people. So they're trying to think, they're assuming that the incoming administration is going to do exactly what they would do. So they got to get all these preemptive pardons as much as possible. They got to get all this, they've got to get it as much, they got to get set. Audio soundbite 17. Senator Coons, he talks about this. Listen.
I think the president's got to weigh a lot of different factors. How seriously he believes that Kash Patel, the nominee to be FBI director, and the other nominees to lead the Trump administration's law enforcement agencies, how seriously they are determined to go after their enemies list, and whether or not some of those who are on that list and who are reasonably foreseeably going to be investigated want a pardon. If they talk through this issue and decide that there's no one who is seeking a pardon, that will lead them down one path. If there's others who are petitioning urgently for some relief, I think you should seriously consider it.
So they're wanting relief. They want preemptive pardons. But then he says this, audio soundbite 18, about January 6th. Listen.
President-elect Trump says he is going to pardon January 6th rioters. We don't know which ones or how many in the first hour after he is inaugurated. How do you feel about that?
I think that is a terrible idea. These are people who have been duly tried and convicted in a court of law of having assaulted police officers, stormed into the Capitol, in many cases attempted directly, physically, and violently to interrupt the peaceful transfer.
No, not power. All of them were. And look, I don't think, and I think I can pretty much speak for everybody on this, Not all of them were. And the ones who were violent and who engaged in violence or engaged in property destruction, I don't think any of us have a problem with those people meeting justice. I mean, we've said it at the time, we've said it now. I don't think anybody has a problem with them receiving justice. But there were so many, and they always ignore this other part of it. There were hundreds of people who did not engage in anything like that, but they were targeted with stupid charges. Like one of the ones that I most remember is the unlawful parading, where they went after like this elderly woman because they said she'd engaged in unlawful parading and they were going to throw her in jail. Like they were throwing not just the book, that all the books at these people. So that's, I mean, for him to just kind of, that's hypocritical. You want to have preemptive pardons for people because you're anticipating a lot of criminal action or the administration is going to target you. But that's exactly what the left did with a lot of these J6 people. Notice how there's no consistency in any of their answers.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is actually crazy. The shocking toll of getting 6 hours of sleep per night has been revealed in horrifying images. It's a British bedding and mattress company, and they illustrate what people might look like in 25 years if they regularly don't get enough sleep. And they are nasty looking. I mean, they look like cave dwellers. Let's be real. Like, they look like legit cave dwellers with us. Their skin is saggy. They're all droopy. Their hair is like weird. It's just, they look like golems from Lord of the Rings. It's one of the, Juan's going to show you. I gotta wait for you to see this chick. This is apparently, now she looks like she's on meth too. But they said that's what you look like if you're not going to get 6 hours of sleep a night.
Good Lord.
Good heavens. Why is she punched over like that? Weird. The kit sold, the gyro kit sold at Sam's Club is, they have possibly tainted cucumbers. Why do you have to get a kit? But it's called the Beef and Lamb Gyro Sandwich Express Meal Kit. The gyro sandwiches. They said that the cucumbers are tainted, basically. They're nasty.
Yeah, and that's tzatziki sauce.
Oh, I love tzatziki sauce, though. That's, ugh. Let's see. This. Ooh, Daniel Penny was invited to be J.D. Vance's guest at the Army-Navy game this weekend. Good for him. The intermittent fasting. I disagree with us. The intermittent fasting that millions of people do, because I do intermittent fasting. They said that it is driving hair loss. And they said that they have researchers, but it's from a university in China, so. But they say that the diet starves the cells of energy that they need to encourage healthy hair growth. Okay, that's a lie, because I do intermittent fasting and I have more hair than known on Earth. I have an insane amount of hair. When I cut my hair, everyone's like, oh, you removed your extensions. I legit did not have to have any. I've never had them. I just have that much hair, and I've done intermittent fasting for a couple of years now, so. I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. Jewelry thieves were arrested after an SUV crash, after they crashed their SUV, and they tried to escape on a rowboat. Golly, this was in Port Gamble. They tried to get away on a little bitty dinky rowboat. Nope, it didn't work. They stole $11,000 in jewelry. They were totally caught. It did not work, and it looked lame. And at one point, it looked like the boat was taking on water. I mean, they didn't get very far at all whatsoever. I mean, they're not the brightest people, you know. Let's see. The world's most expensive Christmas tree was unveiled in Germany, and it's 10 foot of solid gold, and it's worth about $5 million, and it's ugly as all get out. It's ugly. It's made of gold coins. It's 10 feet tall. It's worth $4 million, and it's literally all Vienna Philharmonic coins, 2,024 of them. And it's a 24-karat gold coin that sits right at the top of the giant pyramid. It's not a tree. Stop it. It's a giant pyramid. So, I don't know. They wanted to because they could, I guess. We have a lot more on the way, including the latest on everything. Drones and cabinet and foreign policy. And also, we gotta get into the sold story involving Al Sharpton. Stick with us.
The dreamers are going to come later, and we have to do something about the dreamers, because these are people that have been brought here at a very young age, and many of these are middle-aged people now. They don't even speak the language of their country, and yes, we're going to do something about the dreamers.
What does that mean?
And
what are you going to do?
I will work with the Democrats on a plan, and if we can come up with a plan, but the Democrats have made it very, very difficult to do anything. Republicans are very open to the dreamers. The dreamers, we're talking many years ago, they were brought into this country, many years ago. Some of them are no longer young people, and in many cases, they become successful. They have great jobs. In some cases, they have small businesses. Some cases, they might have large businesses. And we're going to have to do something with them. And
you want them to be able to stay. That's what you're
not addressing. If they're able to create businesses and make successes, why the hell could they not file for citizenship on top of it? Especially with the implementation of DACA, they were prevented from deportation for a good long period. So if they were doing so. So that doesn't answer the question. It doesn't solve the problem. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this second hour. That's what's being missed here. I mean, if you're able, no one's faulting people for being children and drug across the border against their own free will by their parents or whatever. But that's where that stops. There is culpability when you, as an adult, if you can create a business and you can go through the process of licensing and getting capital and doing all of this stuff, going to, you know, filling out paperwork to go to college, really doing anything, you sure as hell can start the process of becoming a legal citizen in this country. You absolutely can, especially when you were prevented from being deported by ICE because of the DACA allowances already. So that doesn't make any sense. It's still rewarding bad behavior. And that's not why people voted the way that they did, by the way. People did not vote for that. That's not what they voted for. So in absence of recognizing that if you are in the country illegally, you're brought here as a kid, and then you try to rectify that as you start a business and all that stuff, and you were protected under Barack Obama and Joe Biden with DACA. You were prevented from, they couldn't deport you. In absence of recognition of that, this is not a solution. This is just a Democrat talking point. That's what it is. And you can get mad about it if you want to, but I'm not the one saying the Democrat talking point. I'm pointing it out. That's not what we voted for. I did not vote for that. I did not vote for that. I don't want no bait and switch here. Do not George H.W. Bush me on this. I don't want a bait and switch. Don't want it. Oh, yeah. No, read my lips. No new taxes. Read my lips. We're going to deport everyone. No, we're not doing that. You do it. Follow through. And it is realistic. If you have not started the process, then you're, that's an act of criminality. And at some point, you are responsible for your own actions, regardless of how you got here. You were allowed to stay here because the assumption, and this is one of the reasons why DACA was so dumb, the assumption was that you were going to be starting the process to be a citizen. And if you didn't do it, then that's on you. So why are we rewarding that? That's a basic question, is it not? I mean, doing something like this, you know, I like Reagan. Everybody likes Reagan. I can say things about the record of President Ronald Reagan that does not diminish my like of him. I like him. I mean, I disagreed with his gun control. I mean, we got gun control to Reagan, and we got one of the largest, 3 million some odd sweeping amnesty under Reagan. I don't want to see that repeated here. There has to be some kind of accountability. And that's really ultimately what it is. I don't know why that caveat cannot be attached. Why Republicans are so scared. This sounds, I mean, I'm aggravated because I feel like already here we are, not even in January, and we already got this coming in. Can I remind you that for all the talk, I think all the people saying that Republicans won this election by a landslide, these people have never paid attention in politics. They got a quick ascension because they say red meat things that everyone else says on TikTok or on X or wherever. And they actually don't have any deep insight. They just kind of like regurgitate what other people say. They have not paid attention to turnout in elections. They have not paid attention to trends. All that stuff matters. We legit had the same turnout that we did in 2020. What made it seem like it was a massive turnout is that Democrats didn't come out to vote. I mean, they weren't going to go out and vote for Kamala Harris. They didn't vote for anybody. They didn't come out. It made it seem like it was this huge sweeping thing for us. And my telling you that means we didn't solve these problems. We didn't solve the problems. It was the same turnout in 2020. Not much different from 2016. So you still had a lot of Republicans that didn't vote. It just happened that more Democrats did not vote this time, and that's what contributed to the victory. Now, I'm not saying that to undermine or be mean, and I don't need people who don't pay attention to this stuff. Like, why are you so ignorant? Anyway, I'm telling you this because do you want to keep risking it in the future? I mean, if there are people out there who value their ego and being able to flex on X more than they actually do about contributing to anything in meat space, then they can go ahead and they can sit and spin on my remarks there. But I'm telling you this because we haven't solved the problem. And you're not going to solve the problem by weakening yourself on immigration after election. People voted for something very, very specific. I don't want to have another election where the victory is hinged upon Democrats not being enthused and not turning out. My gosh, we cannot do that. We've got to get our people out, and we have to have good policy that we can point to as reason for their continued support. That's what it's all about. So I don't like what I'm hearing from him on this. Because, again, it ignores the fact that you have people who are now grown, they know better, and they're choosing to still not follow the law anyway. How is that any different at that point? Because they're assuming the criminal offense. They're not inheriting a criminal offense. They were protected under previous DACA accommodations, and then they have thus far declined to start the process to become legal citizens. So at some point, the responsibility transfers to them because they are the ones who could do something about it, were expected to do something about it, and chose to not do something about it. Are we not the party of accountability? Because again, I just want to know if what I voted for on Tuesday is what I actually, or on November, is what I voted for or not. And I think it's a fair question to ask. I need everyone to remember, you don't owe your allegiance to anyone except yourself. You're the voter. You're the one who people should be pledging fealty to, not the other way around. I guess some of us are just way too American to tolerate that kind of spin. So people need to deliver for you. You voted. You were the ones who had your characters impugned, and you don't have millions of dollars to cry into. You had your characters impugned. You had your businesses closed. Your family's targeted. You're the one who is owed. When you vote, you expect a return on the investment of that vote. Do not sell yourself short because you're worth more than that. So I don't know what I don't know what this is. I will say I do like that he's outright refusing any kind of involvement in Syria. And we're going to talk about this more with our friend Stephen Yates here coming up next hour, because it is the Syria issue. It's not something the United States needs to be involved in. I mean, not at all. No reason as to why. But you have people like Lindsey Graham and others that are very, very excited. And they think that, oh, here's something. But one of the other big points that I see being missed is the destabilization this has caused to Iran. I think after October 7th, Iran did not count on Israel fully eschewing all of the, I don't want to call it advice, lectures, I guess, that it was receiving from so many other nations about, oh, well, you can't react and you can't do this and you can't do that. They weren't expecting the kind of pushback they got with against Hezbollah. They were not. And now, I mean, one of the reasons that Iran was able to supply Hezbollah so easy was because Syria under Assad allowed it. That's part of that Shiite crescent, the power struggle in the Muslim world. The Arab League had been working in negotiations, but they've been in a stalemate for I don't know how long in Syria, for quite a long time. And Israel overpowers Hezbollah, completely knocks Iran back. And now they've lost Syria and the cover that Syria provided. I'm just saying they used to have a direct path to their proxy militias. Now they don't. I mean, you had up until the end of last month, you had Assad and Hezbollah that were still controlling parts of Syria. Now they don't. And now the Iranians are left out just completely unsupported. Very interesting. And it's a very huge shift in the power dynamic in the Middle East. And this is something that Netanyahu had noted. Reuters has the story of how when he was in Golan Heights and he was speaking about the collapse of the Assad regime, and he noted that, well, part of this was due to the defeat of Hezbollah in the north. And reemphasized that Israel will protect its borders. Iran did not, they gambled wrongly. They really, really underestimate. Can you imagine, again, back to the point that the question that I asked first hour, can you imagine if Israel had listened to Western leaders about what it should do? Oh, don't be so hard on Hezbollah. Well, there's a reason they were working with the Assad regime. There's no good choice in Syria. But the idea that the rebels coming in are somehow some sort of saints, they're terrorists. They're literal actual terrorists. The only thing to kind of get excited about is that the mullahs in Iran are totally destabilized now. So when will the people of Iran take a second running at maybe another Arab Spring? Remember the first time that happened, they had Iranian guard up there on the rooftops sniping people. We'll see. Hamas, and there's a change with Hamas too. So apparently, where's the story that I had? So apparently, one of the things with Hamas is that they were getting notes and taking inventory, for the lack of a better way to put it, of the hostages that they have to be able to use them in any kind of negotiation. And apparently some of the previous requirements that they had, including like Israel stopping all, ceasing all responses, which they call hostilities, responses, etc., they're dropping some of those because I think they're realizing now how dire the situation is for them. I mean, they've been utterly decimated in the south. Hezbollah is decimated in the north. So now Hamas is demanding that, well, they need Israel to stop any offensive so that they can get information on these hostages. And they're trying to ascertain how many that they have in custody, etc. And I think Hamas is realizing, okay, it's over. It's already over. It's done for this part. And Israel pushing back so hard on Hezbollah, just that was like kicking out that table leg, that third leg out from underneath Assad in Syria and Iran. And now it's destabilized. That they were trying, that little crescent that they were trying to build, is just all falling down.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So when I first read that this Florida man had decorated his yard with the lamp from A Christmas Story, I thought, well, how big could it be? You'd be surprised. J.P. McCallick's suburban Jacksonville, Florida home. It's 20 feet tall. And it even includes a replica of Ralphie hugging the lamp wearing his pink bunny suit. It doesn't, is it an inflatable? Because it really doesn't even look like it's an inflatable. But he goes, I like his response. He goes, quote, everyone's decorating their houses and I thought it'd be fun to have like a neighborhood competition. And so he just decided to put that up. I mean, it's crazy. He does not have what I would call traditional decorations, but that's funny. So he's got the giant leg lamp in his yard. I kind of like that though. I've been wanting to get a giant nativity and put in my yard, but I want a giant nativity, like a huge one. Yeah. Some people in my household don't share my vision.
With real people?
I mean, no, but, you know, if it's offered, you know. I want, like, resin, right? We got to talk. We got to save this for later because I got more. Hang on. I got more to get into. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. Listen to this. A Florida man says Delta Airlines burned his golf bag and clubs worth nearly $4,000. Ooh, and it looks real bad, too. I'm looking at the destruction of it. He said that his golf bag was burned and everything was charred. Oh. I don't even know how you burn, because golf clubs are, what are they, metal? Aluminum? Yeah. He was, this is in October, he was on a flight from Atlanta. He was waiting for his luggage at the Southwest Florida International Airport. And then he said when he saw it come around again, he goes, wait, oh my gosh, those are my clubs. The freight guy said that they dragged it and it wore through the protective covering, started to spark, and then it caught everything on fire. So he's filed a claim with Delta. Delta initially denied the claim. And finally they said that they're going to pay for it. But it was like, and it looks bad. How do you drag them and then spark? That's like just negligence. That's just laziness and negligence. I don't know how else you attribute that. Look, I just launched showing you the photo. Look at that. That's crazy. That's what they look like. That's insane. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Last but not least, a half-naked Florida man. I may have to share this tomorrow. High on meth, broke into a home, only to steal the resident's carpet cleaner. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you at the top of this third hour. It's already Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We're almost to Christmas Eve week. It's pretty amazing. You can listen across the country. We also have the chat at Rumble, and don't forget to sign up over at Substack. Lots of good stuff up there. So where to even start? I wanted to pull. What's going on with America's hat? I know the Canadian government is just losing it. But now I was reading something about the challenger, like some of the people who are challenging the governor or the president, the head, just call him the governor of the state of Canada, Justin Trudeau, little Castro. They're trying to pressure him into resigning. I mean, he should. And he's trying to save his spot. He's fighting back against it. But I did think it was kind of interesting. He's been for 11 years now the head of their Liberal Party. And that's quite a long time. They could elect a new leader. Whether or not they're going to do that, I guess that's where we'll see. One of his challengers is Jagmeet Singh. He's the one of the guys who's called on Trudeau to resign, demand that he step down. Apparently, he wants an election in March because he wants to lock in his pension before the election in March. I don't know. Politicians are going to politician. But I think we have the audio of this where he was being yelled at by people. He is not a audio soundbite 19. He is not. This is live television. He is not a popular person. Listen.
Prime Minister, are you going to remain in office, sir?
No, what gives you the right to continue? What gives you the right to stay in office? Thank
you. You failed Canada. You've ruined our country. You're done. Walk away. You don't have an ounce of your father's integrity. At least he walked in the snow. You've ruined this country. Everyone around you is running from you. You're abandoning Christian Freeland, Sean Fraser. They've all left you. It's time for you to go. It's time for Canada to have an election.
Wow.
You're not the king.
Dang. I mean, that is something else. That's pretty amazing. They don't like him. He was really, I thought, like when he was first elected, he was pretty celebrated and everybody, you know, the Canadians seemed to like him, but now they hate him. They don't like him at all anymore. I think there's probably, I mean, obviously a good reason for that. But their government is, I think he's going to get run out. I think that the tide is turning. I think it's turning. I think he's, Kane, say on air what you just said.
I was like, imagine what it takes to make polite Canadians into these mad, rabid people. Imagine what that takes.
Yeah.
It's exactly what Trudeau's done.
I mean, I think it, because aren't they pretty much like, hey, sorry to offend, eh? Right. Maple syrup, maple leaves, yay. I don't know.
Not exactly. But
the finance minister resigned. That was his, you know, his top lieutenant. He's out. I don't know. I can't imagine him staying on. I just can't imagine him staying on in this position. I don't. Because he's... Well, Pierre Poilievre, who I love, he's this guy who, do you guys remember Pierre Poilievre? He follows me on X. He was the guy who was eating an apple when a reporter was asking him questions. And he, in the most lackadaisical manner possible, just gutted this guy. But he says that Trudeau has to resign. Listen.
Mr. Trudeau is being held in office by one man, Jagmeet Singh. A fifth of Liberal MPs have written a letter for him to resign. His deputy prime minister has walked out on him. His housing minister has quit. That on top of numerous other female ministers who stormed out after his appalling mistreatment and abuse and dishonesty towards them. 80% of Canadians have lost confidence in this prime minister. So why is Jagmeet Singh making the entire country wait for him to get
his pension?
That is the question.
He wants his pension. March election. So he can lock in his pension. That's why. Well, we'll watch and see what happens with the governor of Canada there. We'll watch and see. San Francisco has a new government position. Did you hear about this? It is a consultant. I'm not going to play this whole video because it's stupid. Well, maybe I will, actually. This person is supposed to be the, checks notes, weight stigma czar.
What?
Mm-hmm. Now, Kane, yeah. I want you to tell me if the person whose image I just placed in Slack is qualified to be the checks notes weight stigma czar.
Well, she'd... No. I almost went on a tangent there, but no. Juan's going to be putting up a quick little video of
what is weight neutrality?
I think that's in space, right? You have no, you're weightless.
We'll play space. This when he gets it. It's that ridiculous. She's working with a team at the San Francisco Department of Public Health. It says here as a consultant on weight stigma and weight neutrality. What is weight neutrality? What is that? Is that a thing?
When someone's
does
neutral,
it have a flag?
I guess if you're just neutral about the idea of weight or extra weight, your guess is as good as mine, but Juan's ready if you're ready.
Oh, please, let's hear this. I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is Virgie Tovar, and I'm the author of You Have the Right to Remain Fat, as well as a few other books on fat positivity and body acceptance. When I think about what people might be surprised by or what you wouldn't think of when you think of eating disorders, I immediately think of being a kid. I was a kid in a larger body, a teen in a larger body, and also what? I'm an adult in a larger body. And the message I always got from my doctor was, shrink your body by any means necessary. And it really felt like there was a sense of a don't ask, don't tell. So because I truly, truly, truly believed, right, and this is where I think the surprise comes in, I really believed that this was about my health. I really believed that my doctor was right. Because why would I believe anything?
That's real. Your doctor was right. And it's not, let's not do fat positivity. I don't believe in fat shaming people unless, you know, that calls for it. But people pointing out that your obesity is a comorbidity is a health issue. That's not people trying to be mean. And I think people need to stop being victims. Stop being a victim. I mean, come on. Seriously. It's... I really don't understand this, like, idea. What, was this a backlash to the heroin chic of the 90s? Is that what we're living with still?
What I don't get is, imagine any other health concern. You know, whether it's diabetes or whether it's just anything health-wise, would you encourage people to continue behavior that would exasperate or make that health problem worse? Would you do that? Would you affirm them knowing that it would make their problem worse? Why would you do that?
This, when she says, you know, I have a right to, you know, you have a right to, you know, be fat or whatever, you don't. And here's why. After, you don't. Absolutely blank and do not. And here's why. After Obamacare passed and we all had to pay higher insurance premiums to pay for people who didn't or couldn't want to pay, oh, I get to have a say in all of that. So you don't get any rights because you invited my tax dollars in. And where my tax dollars go, I follow with a boot in the door. That's what happens. So, no, body, I get to be involved in it. Yeah,
my,
you don't.
My body, my choice.
No, not, it's not my choice to pay your damn bills, so it's not your body to make a choice of. No, if my money goes to it, I'm the boss of you. I will go and knock that zinger right the hell out your hand, and I'll put a carrot in its place, okay? Oh, you want to have a little, you want to have a little Debbie's fudge round? Eat some cucumber or broccoli. Stop it. I have a right too. I have a right to go where my tax dollars go. And if you're sucking up more of my tax dollars because you can't get a handle on your weight, then that's a problem for me. I shouldn't have to subsidize that. No one thought of that when they were pushing for the expansion of Obamacare and jacking up everybody's premiums so that we would have to pay for everyone else's care. So no. And everyone's like, oh, Dana, look, I work really hard to stay in shape and I eat healthy and I do intermittent fasting. I do all of that stuff. I've always worked out. I've always been athletic. I've always maintained. And it's not because a privilege just decided to, you know, a fairy godmother apparated out of the ether and was like, I'm going to make you like this forever. It's an effort. And I don't want to hear about anyone else's problems or excuses. I don't care. Make the effort. And don't expect me to pay your medical bills, because that's the situation we're all in. And as a result, no one can say that they have a right to be this or that. So you wanted, you asked for this. We warned you. Don't say that we didn't warn you, because we did. But back to my first question. What the hell is weight neutrality? What is that? Like, I'm trying to imagine. So, you know, we have a lot of truckers that listen. God love them. Is that like when do they do that for the weight on your truck? You know, like if you go in and you're a weigh station and they're like, oh, you're weight neutral to a truck and their load. Do they say that?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty positive. No,
I'm just fascinated by it. I'm today years old. I've never heard of that phrase, the whole weight neutrality thing. Right. Now, I will say this. I do think that some chicks can go way too far the other way. Like, I always bring up Madonna as an example. She, at some point, as you age, my grandmother always said, at one point in her life, a woman has to choose between her face or her body. Now, I've already told you guys, maybe I haven't been public about it, what my goal is. Because everyone always thinks, I've never had plastic surgery or anything like that for the love. But I do have a plan to combat wrinkles when it starts setting in. I mean, I got a little bit here and there, but I got a plan. You want to know my plan?
Yeah.
I'm going to get fat. It's natural filler. I'm just going to, because I choose face. That's it. I choose face because you can't hide ugly. That's why.
Oh, wait, do you have the right to be fat then at that point?
Well, I'm going to do it in like a healthy way. I'm not going to be like morbidly obese. Oh, okay. So that's totally my plan.
All right.
My grandmother was like, and she said the age is different. What she told me was this. She was like, at some point in her life, a woman has to choose between face or body. And I'm like, what? She's like, you won't know until you get there. And then she looked at me and she was like, I chose face. She was like, that's why. She was like very proud. She's like, that's why I chose face. That's why I don't have hardly no wrinkles. Is what she would say. And I get it. So I'm kind of joking, but not really. That's my whole goal. But not like morbidly obese. Just, you know. I'm just saying. It's all natural. So we got. But there's a difference. You don't want to be like visceral and tawny like Madonna, right? I don't want to see like your ligaments and stuff. Like a woman should look like beef jerky. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to be soft. I don't be brainwashed by these, you know, fourth wave fembots into thinking that you can't have any fat on your body. Women need it. And especially as you get older, you know, you need that extra, especially if you get older, because, you know, it helps you when you're in older age. So anyway, I still don't understand what weight neutral is. I'm going to hear from every trucker who listens to us. I am going to get treaties on it. That's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna get like big essays on it. I can't wait. All right, we got a lot more to come as we roll towards, where are we at? Oh my gosh, are we already at headlines? Is this already the third hour? I feel like Christmas is coming up too fast. And anybody else think that? I feel like that too.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't even know what the this is nuts. So this story, apparently it can't be Christmas here until the city shoots lasers at 20,000 crows. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's over at MSN. So apparently, and by the way, whoever David Andretti Andretta is, he's a horrible journalist who should be fired because he doesn't know how to write a proper balanced story. I shouldn't have to get three quarters of the way through before I know what the hell you're talking about because you decide to talk about the birds. But anyway, it was an outbreak of West Nile virus, and people, I guess they're trying to do like vermin control. So it's in a couple of different couple of different cities that they're having to deal with. This story is so stupid. Let's see here. We got a couple of others. Firefighter dressed as Santa battled a two-alarm blaze in Delaware County. That's pretty cool. And, well, we're running out of time. We got to get moving. Stick with us. I went long last segment. Apologies. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Oh, Dana Lash with you, bottom of this third hour. All right, I got to set this up. Google has a Christmas campaign.
What?
It be woke. Why are people still doing this? Why? Stop it. They got a campaign of a dude. Well, I'm going to just watch it. I'm sorry. We have to see it. You do too. Watch it.
So dry. This winter dryness is not it, especially when I have so many holiday looks to pull off. Thankfully, I know just the thing. And it's in stock nearby. Hydrated skin is a gift to everyone. No wrapping needed. Happy holidays to me.
What in the world is this vaudeville theatrical thing I just watched? This dude is pretending to be a chick. Yeah. I find his interpretation of what he thinks a woman to be really offensive. I don't like saying offensive because I don't give, it's like not a power. But if you were a sexist pig making fun of women and you were mocking how they behaved, that's how you would act. It's like they're mocking women by trying, what woman, who does that? Oh my God, let's get on that. Who does that?
Dylan Mulvaney.
And you sound like a weird Donald Duck-ish kind of thing. I'm going to really put up the vocal fry. Oh, stop it. So he's wearing women's clothing, complaining about his skin. Maybe it's because you're a dude. I don't know. If you thought you have balls. I don't know. Maybe it's why your skin's dry. Right. It's true. Well, Kane, you're objecting to that. But, sir, why we're here.
It was fine when you said he's a dude. You didn't have to really go any
further. I did, because some people need it defined. They don't know what it is. They're like, what is that? I'm like, it's a person with bits. Okay? Like giblets. They got giblets down there.
Get free education on the show. So
we're all about educating the people. Yeah. We're generous like that. You know, we got a special spot in heaven reserved for us. So what is... Do they, is that actually, what woman is going to watch that and be like, yes, that man sounds like he's got some authority on this issue?
Or
do they not know how marketing works?
Right. Or what woman is going to relate in any way to that?
Oh, how far should I go with this?
Oh, no. What do you mean?
Well, marketing.
Okay.
So,
that look on your face.
Yeah. If I'm watching a man try to sell a product to me, a woman, it's not going to work unless it's a car or a gun or a gadget. Anything else, shut up. I'm not going to listen to you. There are certain things I know. If you're trying to sell me a food item, nope. And only on certain guns, by the way. You know, like if I'm seeking knowledge on a gun, I'm okay with, or chick. But there's just, if you're a man and you're trying to tell me about skincare, I'm not listening to you. Maybe I will listen to a male dermatologist less than a female dermatologist, because she's female, I'm female, ladies got different needs. All right. Men can turn 80 and still be hot. Women, it's a little different. That's just beauty standards. It's just the way it is. I'm not listening to a dude talk about makeup or skincare or hair care or anything like that. That's not selling me. That is not selling me on anything. What woman watches that dude and goes, oh yeah, I think I want to try that. Who does that? I don't, that does not appeal to me as a woman. I don't find that appealing. Like the fat chicks in the Victoria's Secret. I don't buy Victoria's Secret, but I can't even tell what those clothes would look like on my body. Everything's so like distorted in an unhealthy manner, morbidly obese manner. No. It's like if I see someone morbidly obese selling leggings on Athleta. Which, by the way, why are certain leggings that are used way more material and a certain size the same cost as leggings that use less material and are a different size? Are the leggings that use less material and of a different size subsidizing the manufacturer and sale of the larger leggings that have more material and use more labor? Just, this is where my mind goes. So I can't see, it does not resonate with me. A dude selling me stuff does not resonate with me. Joe Biden trying to sell me a gun would not resonate with me. Like, you don't know anything about guns, right? So, like, you would not watch a baking show hosted by someone who can't bake. For that same reason.
It's like going to you for football tips.
It's like asking me about football.
Right.
Sidebar. Somebody did that.
What?
They didn't know. Someone didn't tell this poor man making small talk. Because you know how you get in a group of people and everybody's talking, and my husband's talking, and there his wife is talking, and our other friends are talking, their friends are talking. We're all cross conversations. And he's like, so, you know, coming from St. Louis, you know, to Dallas, you know, I guess, you know, were you into the Rams and all this stuff? And I'm like, eh, well, you know, I can, you know, do 30,000 foot. Then he starts getting into some technical stuff, and I have no idea what's happening. I don't know what is going on. Like, if it was a plane flying and I had to fly to keep it from crashing, we'd all die. Oh, I don't even remember what he asked me. It was something technical. And I just looked at him and I go, is that a position? And I could tell very briefly it hit his face. Like, he first thought, did I misspeak? Like, maybe I didn't. And then it hit him. No, it's her. She knows nothing about football. It's a deficit what I actually know about football. I think some of the positions are made up. I don't even think they're real. And I'm not going to pretend to like it.
I think you call four or five different plays score downs.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, even though there's no score happening.
I don't even know which way the hell you run on the field. Yeah. I don't even know. Like,
Dana, who do you think should start at quarterback this week for the Falcons?
That one guy.
Open up your betting app. There you go. Hurry. Open up your betting app. She's about to give the answer.
I don't know. The cultist. I don't know.
Mr. To Ever Do It?
Yeah, Mr. To Ever Do It.
Got
him.
It. Okay.
I don't know. Where are they at? I know nothing about football. I don't want to know nothing about football. It's okay. We're all different, right? We're all different. I can tell you about baseball, can't help you with football. I actually know baseball, cannot help. I didn't, when my kids were playing, I was like, I don't even know what the hell I'm watching. I'm just like, whatever. My kids are like, Mom, why? Like, my youngest is, you know, he knows it. He's, you know, gets into the strategy of it. And he's like, it really is like, I'm like, that's great. You can sit here and tell me it's like chess a million times. Chess using people. That's great. I still have no idea what's happening. I don't even know how, I love that he learned that apart from me. It's great. But it'd be like me telling you football. Well, this is who I think you all need to bet on this weekend. Or this is who you need to root for. If you listen to me, you'd be the dumbest person in the world. I can't even tell you where the Falcons are from. Where are they?
What?
I don't know. It's a what? Type of bird. I can tell you that much. And they're probably black and purple. I don't know.
Atlanta would like to have a word.
Yep. I don't know. Why does Atlanta get Falcons? They need something Atlanta-y. Are there Falcons in Atlanta? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
See, this is what happens when you get outside your skill set. This is why you should not have a dude selling women's skincare. You see how uncomfortable that was? That's how us ladies feel. Whenever dudes try to get out there and sell us skincare or sell us makeup or morbidly obese chicks try to sell us lingerie at Vicky's Secret. No. I can't even see some of it on someone.
I didn't even feel it fully until you started talking about football.
Yeah, see, now you feel it.
Now I feel
it. Now you know what it's like to be mansplained.
Exactly.
To by a man cosplaying as a woman telling you about lady stuff. Right. Me going, taking you through that valley in football at that low point there.
Right.
That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like, y'all. Some people think that I'm pretending at not knowing football came. They actually think I'm faking it. Would you like to just really quickly say that that is not the case, in fact?
Yes, that is not the case.
It is a legitimate thing.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody offered to they said you should take an online course about football, and I said I'd rather gouge my eyes out with used toothpicks from a a flu-laden buffet. I think I'd rather do that than watch a... I'd rather have a gasoline enema than have to watch a thing about football. Sorry, there's just things I don't do. Camping is another. Pretending that you're homeless? No. No. We invented the house. We invented the house and electricity, and I'm not going to pretend. If you, I have very good, I have good girlfriends who and family members who love camping. And I love that you love, I love that for you. I love that you love camping, not for me. I will go out in nature. I will shoot things, kill it. I will field dress it. I'll do whatever. But when I go to bed, we're going to have hot water and a soft comforter. That's what's going to happen. We're doing that. And we're not going to go dookie in a shed that's built over a poo cave. Not happening. Not doing it. Sorry. I draw the line. Draw the porta potties are banned. No. Now you guys know. Now you know. So this, so Lorraine says there's definitely a mothership out there. What, the Pentagon, quote, there's no so-called mothership launching drones towards the United States.
Right.
That's exactly what someone hiding the fact that there's a mothership launching drones towards the United States would say.
Wait, that's my line.
That's exactly what they would say. Now, I had said, if the drones are all from an Iranian mothership, I'm disappointed because I was hoping for aliens. And literally everyone is going, well, first someone said aliens are not coming to this poo hole planet unless they have saucer trouble. They're going to stay in their little saucers and keep the doors locked. They're not going to get out of here. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, we're in the trashy part of the solar system. We're here with the people who ban things on pancake syrup bottles. And they think that if they tape their male copulatory organs back towards their butts, that they're women. That's, you know. You okay?
You know, there's
aliens would just call. What? Go ahead.
There's a rule in football called the tuck rule, and it has nothing to do with that.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I'm afraid to look that up. That's new information to me. The tuck rule?
Yeah, you just catch a pass, and you have to turn before the fumble it doesn't come out, or incomplete pass.
Catching a pass, wink. All right.
Wink.
There you go. Sounds like coded language to me.
I think the aliens would just call quadruple A. That extra A is for alien.
I don't know. So the Pentagon's like, no, this is not happening. But I think it is. Sorry. I think you're lying. I'm just going to say, nope. There is. That's what I want. When Trump gets in, right after he's inaugurated, this is what I want to happen. I want him to go up on the stage. You know how they go up on the stage and they do that, the dance with the first lady and all that? All right, you're going to have, he can have his dance with Melania. But I want him to go first. All right. So, yes, Iran was launching drones out of a mothership and aliens are real. And we did find Bigfoot. That's all I want to know. And then you can go dance. Just drop that knowledge for me first.
That right there?
Yeah, just right there. Right there.
Right after the swearing in?
You know how helpful it would be to eliminate all the small talk by just being like, so did you hear what POTUS said? Damn, Bigfoot's real. And there's aliens and also Iranian mothership drones. What? That would be so good. Small talk is horrible at those events. Just saying. And we'd all have something to talk about. So it'd be great. That's what he needs to do. Just a small request. My birthday's next year. And Christmas is coming up, you know. All right, we got more on the way. Live long and prosper. We got more on the way. Charles Barkley is hysterical. I don't know if you guys saw this from inside the NBA, but they had an uncomfortable moment when Jay-Z came up. Watch.
You think Jay-Z or
not a good time right now?
Or you're silly, man. You're silly. You're wrong. You're silly, man.
Go see if you can fix the wall, will you, Shaq?
Fix the wall, man.
Yeah. Here, back here.
Fix the wall, go, man.
I can fix
my
the wall.
My point was.
Too soon, Kendrick.
My point was. You think Kendrick Lamar.
He just goes and hides behind that podium. Back on, oh, too soon. I saw that. I read a story where it said Beyonce made Jay-Z walk the red carpet with Blue Ivy at that Mufasa premiere the day that those accusations dropped. And then everybody started watching that video. I usually don't get into like a lot of the gossip stuff, but I was fascinated when Beyonce's sister just about beat the hell out of Jay-Z in an elevator. I mean, that beefy bodyguard that was in there with him, was not about, I mean, he barely could contain that woman. And Beyonce just stood there moving her train here and there. She just stood there in the middle. Didn't do nothing. Barely got in between them at one point. She just standing there watching it. I mean, like Solange Knowles was like throwing her heels and everything. Like Jay-Z needs to fear for his life. He made his wife's sister mad. That's like a person you don't make mad. Right. Something's up. I don't know. But that was from a few years ago. Anyway, I think Charles Barkley's hysterical. That's he's too funny. All right. So before we went to break, we were telling you, we'll get to Dana's stupidity. Pentagon's denying the Iranian mothership thing. They're denying it. Today's stupidity, Kane?
All right, it's going to be Biden. I mean, there's so much stupidity. The TikTokers and everyone else fawning.
We're
going to
get the Caitlin Clark stuff tomorrow.
That CEO murder. But anyway, it's Biden. His teleprompter goes out, and he just didn't know what to do. This is a common theme with Democrats. Look at this.
This is so bad.
And, you know, one of the things that's going on here, they just turned off my... I'm going to go vote.
Oh, no.
I lost it. Electricity here. Anyway, one of the things we found is that, you know, we invented the computer chip. Okay. Size of the tip of your little finger.
All right. Okay. Time for nappy time, Grandpa.
He's just still there. I don't know what he's doing, but he's still there. Yeah. That does it for us today, folks. I hope you have a great evening. Find us on Substack. Make sure you subscribe. Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.